Dr. Stan here at Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views and the views of our guest. And this afternoon, our guest is Paul DeLorius. We're going to be talking about 911. He's with the 911 Truth Movement. And I think it's so important people understand that often things are not what they appear to be. Certainly if you go back and you study the onset of the Spanish-American War, there's no question that our own government or people within our government blew up that ship and killed 60 or 70 Americans when the battleship Maine went down. And if you study the story of Pearl Harbor, there's no question that President Roosevelt knew the attack was coming. I actually went back to Yale University and went through the diary of Secretary of War Stimson, and he tells about going to the White House shortly before the attack and being told by President Roosevelt the attack was coming. The only question was how we would get the Japanese to fire the first shot so we could get into the war and rally the American people behind us. Certainly, the Gulf of Tonkin incident was contrived, and 58,000 American boys died for nothing fighting an enemy that we were financing all during that war. And then we get around to 9-1-1, and what really happened that day? Well, 3,000 or almost 3,000 Americans died, but what very few people point out is that almost 1,100 bodies of those Americans, those almost 3,000 Americans, almost 1,100 bodies have never been recovered. They just sort of disappeared. And of course, were they crushed when the buildings collapsed? Were they vaporized when the buildings exploded? We don't have the answers. We sure got a lot of questions, and Paul is here to try to even create more questions and clarify what happened. Paul, how did you get really involved in this whole story?
Well, actually, I began, really this whole journey began on 9/11 for me. I was at the time in Maui. I was there for a book conference. My publisher wanted me to be at this Maui book conference to publish my first book, which is called In the High Energy Zone. It's about group dynamics and organizational development. And anyway, on 9/11, I was supposed to fly back to Massachusetts, and I got a call from some friends, and they said, "You're not going anywhere." So I went to across the island to this place called Charlie's, and it's an old-fashioned bar with an old Western bar, you know, with a bank of television sets. And I sat at the bar with a young couple right next to me, and this guy was on his honeymoon with his wife sitting there right next to him, both of them in tears, and he was saying that he was a bike messenger and his route was the Twin Towers. And we sat there, and they were showing people jumping from the buildings at the time. And I was so horrified by what I was seeing, I just remember just stepping back. I just sat up and just got up out of the stool and walked back a little bit, and right next to me was this big guy, 6'2". And then the photograph of then Bush came on, and this guy just all of a sudden just said, "Look at that beady-eyed SOB. Look at that bastard," he said.
Did you know that the water you drink every day can be even more beneficial to your health? I'm not talking so-called enriched water, but I'm talking about electrolyzed water. RPA Biotech is an amazing American company, provides unique technology to transform water. Electrolyzed Plus Water will alkalinize your water more powerfully than any other single nutraceutical, because a body in an alkaline state can't grow pathogens, become allergic, or develop autoimmune disease or vascular degenerative illness. Electrolyzed water is non-toxic, non-corrosive, and environmentally safe for humans and animals. Alkaline water is available as a concentrate to be mixed with good, filtered, purified RO water, but not tap water, microstructured, alkaline, antioxidant water for consumption. Call for your Electrolyzed Plus Alkalinizing Miracle Rejuvenating Water Concentrate or other remarkable RPA Biotech products like Ultimate Fuel, Sport Performance Drink at 888-212-8871. That's 888-212-8871 or go to NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I with an I, medical.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest is Paul DeLorious. And he's over in Hawaii. He has no idea as much is happening in the world. He's there on September 11th. He meets a fellow at the bar who tells him he's part of the CIA. He's been sent there to chill down because he couldn't take knowing what was going on and what was coming down. Told him then that if anybody ever learned what he had actually told Paul, that he would be a dead man, and looked at Paul and said, and so would you. So about that time, I guess your life began to change, didn't it?
It certainly did. At first I was skeptical. I just didn't realize that what he was saying was had a level of truth behind it. I was very skeptical, and then basically I saw Fahrenheit 9/11, and I started to do research and found out about the Carlyle Group, and before I knew it, I was steeped into studying about 9/11. And having a master's degree in mechanical engineering, I understood enough about structures, and as I studied the 9/11 Commission Report and so just saw what a joke it was, really, I became more and more suspicious, and that's when I really focused on writing my second book, which was called Bearer of Light, which is a way on how we can use this incident as a catalyst for change and how it can support us to come together collectively so that we can really work with organizing to really go against what we're all facing right now, but to do so in a very positive and uplifting way. It's been a process, an evolution for me in terms of just getting more and more involved, and presently I've been involved here in Massachusetts, starting a small group just by showing some movies at our house, and then that attracted a fairly significant group of people. We have about 65 in our core group right now, and then we have on top of that a mailing list of about 300. And then we had the Boston Tea Party this last December, and a lot of these groups got together, and it was just wonderful to have that level of collaboration and openness. And we went to the Democracy Center, and we came up with an action plan, and we came up with 23 different strategic actions that we all felt we could get around, including starting like things like the Truth Squads and having speakers tours and other things that we could do through our collaboration. So we have 16 of these communities in the Northeast that have collectively been working together so that when there's a presidential debate, we get carloads of people to come to those events. And I find it very uplifting, too, that we're able to talk to so many other people who are in this activist movement and who really know the full depth and breadth of what's really going on, which for so many of us, it's so mind-blowing and so horrific. But if we can come together and work together as community, it takes away a lot of that fear and that concern, and people really start to see that, wait a minute, I'm not alone, I'm not crazy, and that there is a way collectively that we can make change. So I've been, although it's been heart-wrenching in many ways to see the level of pain and suffering that's been caused, not only at 9/11, but in Afghanistan and now Iraq, and now they're looking at threatening Iran. I mean, it goes on and on in terms of what this group is doing. going right now, this collusion of big business and media and government and religion, too, to a certain extent, that what they're doing to this planet is just, it just brings so much sorrow to my heart and compassion. And at the same time, I feel a lot of hope as we come together and work collectively together with other groups and other people. I was at the Social Forum in Atlanta recently, and again, I think, you know, what I saw there in Atlanta was very reflective of what's happening throughout the country as far as activist movement goes. I mean, the Atlanta Forum, there was like at least five or six different venues going on at the same time, but it was scattered throughout the city, a two-mile radius, so you'd have to walk a mile, 2 miles to different locations. And there were so many different groups and so many different issues and so many different injustices that have been, that really started those different activist groups. And as I heard all those stories, you know, I felt like just burdened with the sorrow of all of that and also discouraged by the level of scatteredness of all of these different activist groups and all of these very concerned individuals, but all going in their separate ways. And then shortly after that, we held the, myself with several other people facilitated a meeting with activist groups in Philadelphia on the 4th of July. And that was really born out of Cindy Sheehan's request that we start to work with going beyond this two-party system, really, that is part of this military-industrial complex that has their, as she called it, that has their hands around our throats. And to come together and start working together. And we did that. We had 24 different activist groups come together and work on a collective plan so that we can really start to be a force. Because, I mean, it's really true. United we stand and divided we fall. And unless we start to come together and start to work as a collective group towards the same common root cause that we all share in all our activist concerns, I mean, we're not going to make a difference. But if we start to unite and come together, we will take back our government and take back our liberties. It's so desperately needed right now. And in fact, what's happening in New York City on Sunday, the 22nd at 6 p.m. at St. Mark's Church, we're having again another collaborative effort with activist groups so that we can forge a common action plan that we can all get behind. So I feel inspired by that, and also we still got a lot of work to do before we really start to work collaboratively together, whether it's with 911 truth groups throughout the different areas of the country, or whether it's with this collaborative effort with a lot of different activist groups. We need to start to network. We need to start to organize, because it's one of the, I think, the crucial stages in how we become effective as an activist movement. If we look at it in terms of, there's an information phase, which we've been well in now for several years, and then there's this organizational phase, which we're just at the very beginnings of, I think. And then there's the judicial process, and then there's reform. But we need this organizational phase if we are going to go ahead with the judicial and the reform. So it's crucial. It's a crucial step. And we really do need to start to be effective as we start to work more collaboratively together. So.
Well, I certainly agree with everything you say. The one thing I would caution you, I would give you the advice, because I've been at this for 45 years, and not very many people who have been, continuously involved. Be careful of a highly centralized organization. You will have the most charismatic, capable, dedicated people in the world try to take control and direct this, and once that happens, you can be sure that organization will be compromised. A decentralized group such as you're having, which they cannot control from the top down, will be far more effective. And, of course, the major thing is, how do we get the American people to care? How do we get them away from their television set? How do we make them understand that what is going on is going to affect them and their children? And if we don't turn this thing around, We're going to be at war with Iran. We're going to have a military dictatorship in America. And either the they stand up now and say, no, we're not going to go along with this, and have the courage of their conviction, the Twin Towers, and a lot of them have been paid off to be quiet, but there are a few who have had the courage to keep right on trying to get the information out. But we have to get everybody to understand that we are all involved, and certainly I admire what you're doing, and I admire the steps that you're taking, but just be wary of how you organize this. Sometimes a loosely knit organization can be far more effective than a highly centralized one, because you never know who's going to control it.
That's very good advice, Dan, and I agree. And the way that we've been moving forward up to this time is just a grassroots effort where we bring different groups together, and the grassroots, all of the different groups, the activist groups, decide what the action is. It's not coming from a hierarchical form, but from a collaborative form. And I think that's what's so needed right now, that it is, because the old model, this patriarchal model of top-down leadership, is really what has given birth to this hierarchy that we're facing right now, this oligarchy.
And Chris, I really appreciate the fact that you're trying to get people from the right and the left to work together, and we have to, because I'll tell you right now, as an evangelical Christian, I get a lot more support and a lot more sympathy from many people on the left, who many of them either atheist or agnostic, than I do from many of my conservative Christian brethren. So we work with those that we can, and we work on the issues we can, but we all are trying to go the same way. And I think whether you're right or left, conservative, liberal, Democrat, or Republican, concern about freedom, concern about what's happening, and concern about the possibility, I don't know, possibility, probability, that the Bush administration intends to take us into a totally destructive war with Iran is not a possibility, it's a probability, and I fear it's coming very soon. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Paul DeLorious as we begin to evaluate what he's doing. He's certainly working with the 911 Truth Movement, very effective, putting out great information, and we'll let you know how to get in touch with him and their organization.
Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
They realize there really are people out there, evil people, who are quite willing to sacrifice American lives to pursue a greater good, what they consider a greater good, certainly a political agenda aimed at changing America forever.
It was a real shock for me. When I found out, I started growing my hair, and actually now my hair is down between my shoulder blades, So I've known for a little bit now, and I am shocked as I keep on finding out more and more of black ops and about a lot of the things they're doing in other areas like the four, and it just goes on and on with the genocide that's being orchestrated right now on so many levels. So it was a shock, and it is a shock on a regular basis for me to keep on realizing, as you put it, the level of evil that exists. And at the same time, I find hope in that through people coming together and working collaboratively, working as community, I find that to me very uplifting. When I'm with my brothers and sisters who are all focusing on the same crucial issue, because, you know, when you look at the reality, it's the citizens of the United States, really, who are empowered to save this planet from what's going on right now. Because I don't think that these people who are in charge right now of our government will be overthrown by another government. And it will only come through our coming together and exercising our constitutional rights that we will put an end to this. And I have grave concerns, too, because, you know, it's not only the imminent possibility of war with Iran, but also martial law to be exercised over us and all of our rights being taken away. So that's a very real possibility that we all must, I think, be aware of, and how crucial it is that we come together and organize so that we can't be a force to prevent this, and if it does happen, we can't be a force to get back our government.
Well, I think the important thing is that we try to reach the people within the military, try to reach the people within the police, try to reach the people at our local government levels. And I think an increasing number who are aware really of what's happening, and I think that we have many patriotic people in the military. The trouble is they're taught to obey orders, not to question anything. But I'm just hoping that, actually I've heard that there are as many as 50 generals and admirals who for the first time are willing to stand up and say a war with Iran is just stupidity and we're going to resign our commissions if you go ahead and do that. They didn't do it in Vietnam. They should have. And as a result, we lost 58,000 American boys for absolutely nothing. I hope, of course, that we're not going to make the same mistake here. And some of our generals are resigning, getting out, and being very, very critical, and justifiably so. Let's hope, of course, as this thing unfolds, that the military people and our police force and our National Guard remember who their loyalty is to. It's certainly not to George Bush or to Vice President Cheney. It's to our Constitution and to the preservation of the freedoms that we inherited from generations past.
I agree that we really do have to work with veterans groups who really have a great in dealing with not only the veterans themselves, but also working with people who are the enlisting process and going into high schools and educating people to prevent them from going into the military, and also then for enlisted people to have education going along with that. There were two groups that were at part of our Philadelphia collaborative. One was Iraq Veterans Against the War, and also Delaware Valley Veterans for America. And there was also a group that was for a national Armory group, Allentown Armory activists that were also participated. So they had some wonderful strategies about educating, going into high schools, letting an alternative view to what the military is presenting about what it's really like and what war is really like. And then to have communications ongoingly with emails and other forms that can get into the enlisted people who then they can start their education process so that they can become more aware of, for example, who was behind 9/11. And then also to get veterans involved, because there's so many issues for the veterans, including their own health care, for the horrific things that happened to them. Not only the Vietnam deaths, but as you look at depleted uranium.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Order a copy of this show for your friends and family at GCNLive.com or call 877-300-7645. Terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video Sheltering in Place, Surviving Acts of Terrorism from Biological, Chemical, and Radioactive Fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step by step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video Sheltering in Place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at murkywater.com.
Where do you think one of the most toxic places on earth is? The answer may surprise you. It's in your body. The colon is a natural breeding ground for disease-producing germs. It may not sound like a very appealing subject, but it should not go ignored. For over a decade now, natural health expert Dr. Lauren Ritter has educated people everywhere about the benefits of internal cleansing. Now, these benefits include higher energy levels, more comfortable digestion, high immune support, and healthier-looking skin. Now, you can try Dr. Ritter's colon cleansing program from the privacy of your own home. It's safe and natural, and it gently cleanses the entire digestive tract. Don't let your body be the most toxic place on earth. Take care of your health by cleansing your colon and body. Dial 1-800-890-2014. That's 1-800-890-2014. Call now to find out how you can get the colon and body cleanse risk-free for 30 days. Dial 1-800-890-2014. Call now.
Are you lacking energy on a daily basis? Do you feel tired all the time?
Then it's time for you to try ACT, the healthy energy drink. ACT helps your body with a natural blend of fruit extracts, herbs, and vitamins to deliver healthy cellular energy. ACT contains no caffeine, 4 grams of sugar, and only 22 calories per serving. ACT works within minutes, lasts for hours. ACT is the healthy, feel-good energy drink. Enjoy big savings by ordering ACT wholesale from your own free website. Share your website with friends. Go to GCNLive.com and click on the spot. Sponsors link, then click on the ACT banner. Join the ACT Buy Direct consumer movement for free and wholesale order your ACT energy drinks as often as you like. Go to GCNLive.com, click on the sponsors link, then click on the ACT banner and become a free dealer wholesale member. That's GCNLive.com, sponsors link, ACT banner, and experience ACT, the healthy, feel-good energy drink today.
This is Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is Paul DeLorius. And before we go on, Paul, I'd like you to get your website out and email or any other information you'd like so people would know how to get in touch with you and the 911 Truth Movement.
Sure. You can, first of all, just go to 911truth.org. And I am the coordinator for the grassroots community development that they have going on there. We have over 190 groups participating at this time. And so if you have a group that would like to come in our fold and be part of this exchange that's occurring, we're starting to collaborate with all the different groups in certain regions. So it would be a great opportunity to network and to get a lot of support in what you're doing. So, again, that's with 911truth.org. You can connect with me that way. Or, if you want to do it directly, you can just email paulnrg@aol.com. And another possibility, too, is through a website where I have my for sale. It's www.bearerofright.com. That's bearer, B-E-A-R-E-R, of light. com. And that is a book about community development, but doing so with an uplifting and a spiritual approach to it, so that it what we're, 'cause we really do need to support this so that it's not dark and spins you down, but it can be a very uplifting and supportive involvement if you develop the communities in a way that creates that environment for that to happen. And this book is about creating that proper environment for activist groups. Again, that's with www.bearerofright.com.
All right, fine. What is that other one, NRG now?
Paul, NRG, Nancy Ralph Good at AOL.com.
All right, fine. Well, Paul was simply talking about the military and certainly the fact that so many of our people in our military are being poisoned by depleted uranium. But what we really need, of course, is to let our military know that they're being used as guinea pigs, that they're being given unsafe vaccines like the anthrax vaccine, that the veterans of the first Gulf War, almost a third are ill, over a third are ill, and almost 80,000 are now dead of those previously healthy young people. And it would almost appear that there are certain people within our military or who control our military who are out to destroy the youth of our nation. And why would they be using depleted uranium in such amounts, you know, in Iraq and Afghanistan today when it is known to be toxic? Certainly it's in violation of all the international treaties, and it is poisoning our young men. A third of the veterans of the second Gulf War, within 3 months of coming home, are ill. And they're going to be ill for the rest of their lives. Not until our military realizes that they're being used and systematically and intentionally destroyed is there going to be any hope of mobilizing them and recruiting them into this patriotic effort to save America. And they are the first line victims of the destruction of our society. Are you having much luck with veterans, do you think?
Yeah, I was very hopeful, again, at the Philadelphia convention that we had on the 4th of July. And it was quite an event, by the way. It was great to, we were right in Independence Center, and right across this, quadrant was the Independence Hall. So, And it was the level of openness and support from the veterans group and their willingness to work together was very, like I said, uplifting and hopeful. And I think that as we all come together and work with the different veterans group, especially as you know, as I mentioned before, the Iraq Veterans Against the War, they would be a very good group to look up and to support in any way that you can, because I think their activities and their strategies are right on target in dealing with the enlistment process, those who are enlisted, and also the veterans.
Amen to that. Well, our telephone number, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Paul, 800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. Go ahead.
Stan, you mentioned before about the communication and how challenging it is to get the communication out, and what will really bring people up to a point where they will actually want to become activists. And I think that part of that comes to the way that we communicate. And the more that we can communicate from the heart, I think the more that this the penetration of what we're trying to say will get across. Let me give an example. Bob McAvey was at the Philadelphia convention, and he spoke for family victims of 9/11. Bob had lost his son in the second tower collapse, and he expressed his grief, and it touched everyone's heart. And then he expressed his outrage when he found out that our government was behind those attacks. And there wasn't a dry eye in the house. And I think that it's that type of heart connection that is so important when we realize not only Bob's pain, but the pain of all those people who were in Afghanistan that got killed, all the people in Iraq and what's going on right now, all of our veterans, all of our military that's being affected in this way. The list goes on and on about around the injustices that have been really perpetuated by this collusion of big business and government and media and religion. And it's something that we have to collectively stop. But it's by realizing what the impact is and having compassion for our fellow human beings, I think, in realizing that we are supporting genocide. I mean, it's such a horrific thing to think about. But as we look at the reality of what is being done by our government and from our taxes, and if we remain silent, we are complicit in some way. So it's so crucial that we start to realize, and I think what brings up the realization more than anything else is to see these broken people, these people who are so much suffering and pain because of this oligarchy and their need for more power, and it just goes on and on and on. There's no end to it. And they will deplete our civilization so to a point where they can control it. And so, so the depletion of our military is part of the strategy, I would say. If you look it doesn't surprise me when I look at how horrific some of the things that they've been doing and it's been going on for so long. So, I think that one of the catalysts to get us moving, to get us really together as a collective citizenship, is to fully grasp what is going on and the suffering being caused, not only in the United States, but globally, what's happening. And when we get to that place of compassion, I think that will help create movement and activity and really support us to be activists in that way. I don't know, Stan, if you have anything else to add to that.
There's so much to add to it. And you were just expressing yourself so well, and I was agreeing with you. I think it's so important that people begin to question, how can we reach others? Well, they have to realize that they are involved. There is no neutral position of what's going to come down the line. And certainly there are many, many people who say, well, I'm just going to sort of stay out of this whole thing. I don't want to get involved in the argument. everybody is involved, because when freedom fails, good men rot in filthy jails, and those who cry appease are often killed by those they hope to please. And we're dealing with, in my estimation, organized evil that today is in total working power of both of our political parties, who have given our president the green light to go ahead and attack Iran. People don't understand. It was just last week that Senator Lieberman put forth a resolution in the Senate. But of course, it was already determined. The war was coming. And it was being encouraged not only by our government, but by people in the upper echelons of the Japanese government. And that gets into Emperor Hirohito and the Order of the Garter, which most. Ourselves, why are they refurbishing the Japanese prison camps from the Second World War? Why is Halliburton being given $385 million a year to be standing by to build new concentration camps? If they're not planning on using the military against the American people, why have they repealed the Posse Comitatus Acts? If they're not planning on martial law, why on the 9th of May of this year? Just a few months ago, with very little fanfare, with the two presidential directives, one for Homeland Security, the other for National Security, passed, which gives the president the ability to declare martial law in America for whatever period he wants. Without restrictions from the Congress, but at least in the past, this could always be reviewed in a few months. This cannot be reviewed. It gives the president total dictatorial power. Why would they take that power, which is unconstitutional, under themselves, unless they were planning on using it? And maybe you say, well, I trust George Bush. I mean, he's a Christian. Oh, I believe George Bush talks to God and is doing what he thinks is right, but imagine what's going to happen when George Bush isn't there. How would you like to have Hillary have that sort of power? Or somebody else that is even far more ruthless than that? So freedom is never free, and you can never give people power, because Absolute power corrupts absolutely everyone. And where is the outcry from our leaders? Why did this Congress and the Senate allow President Bush to do this? And why are we reading about it in the newspaper? And I think you've already said it so well, Paul. There is collusion between the corporations and government and the media. Yes, and yes, and even the religious establishment. That is what disturbs me so much, that so many of our religious leaders are going along with this, because they've been called back to Washington, D.C., and they've been stroked and flattered by Karl Rove and his clones, and they're using the conservative Christians and Catholics in this country for our own destruction. So I think our job is to let people know what's going on, to try to get them to think, and of course, try to get them to act while there's time.
I agree. And I am concerned also, like you said, about the religious right. I look at people like John Hagee, who's on the TV constantly talking about another Armageddon and preparing for, you know, this final cataclysmic end to the planet as we know it. And you can just see that it's just part of this whole bigger plan by this oligarchy. And it's frightening. And at the same time, we have to realize how much we're being duped by these stories. And they repeat the stories time and time and time again until we think, oh yeah, maybe that is in Revelations, maybe that is in the Bible, that this Armageddon thing is going to happen. But if you look into the facts, you can just see how it is a distortion. And that, it's just part of this whole delusionary thing that's being created for us to get into so that they could just keep on doing whatever it is they're doing.
Well, I certainly disagree with John Hagee, because he seems to think that God can't manage things on his own, that we've got to be there. In fact, we've got to lead this attack on Iran, and he's openly advocating war with Iran. Well, I don't think that God wants us to begin to trying to orchestrate what's going on. If he wants an attack on Iran, he does not need our help. And what happens if John Hagee is wrong? What's if this is the last thing God wants? I mean, I don't believe John Hagee can speak for God any more than I.
flaxseed, psyllium, and bentonite clay that eliminates toxins from the body. MetaCleanse is easy to use without being intrusive. You take 2 tablespoons of MetaCleanse powder, mix with water or juice, drink, and it does all the work for you.
Well, that's it? Well, it sounds so easy and convenient.
It is easy. Plus, the FDA says flaxseed works to prevent cancer and helps with menopause, weight loss, irritable bowel syndrome, and constipation.
It helps with all of those ailments? That's amazing.
And the bentonite clay and MetaCleanse eliminates viruses and pesticides in the intestinal tract.
Wow. Where can I buy MetaCleanse?
A 1-month supply is available online at MetaCleanse.com. That's MetaCleanse.com. Or call 1-800-317-9547. That's 800-317-9547.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and hope you enjoyed our interview with Paul DeLorius. Now, if you'd like to get some of the DVDs that we have on what really happened in 911, we carry 911 Press for the Truth, 911, Sunny, the Day That Changed the World Forever, in Plain Sight. We carry it, the one that was put forward by Alex Jones, going into that, and we carry one other, five of them, if you can get all five. too. Thank you. Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring in. I need to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, this afternoon they're going to be the views of Dr. Woodrow Monti, who is actually a scientist who worked with food for many years in Arizona at the university there. And now he's retired. He lives part-time in New Zealand, part-time back in Arizona, but he's good enough to come on and talk to us this evening about what he learned about aspartame, because he's been writing and studying this for, well, how long have you been studying this, Dr. Monti?
I guess since 1982.
Okay, so that gives you about 25 years then, doesn't it?
Yeah, I should have an anniversary here. So.
All right, fine. And so how did you initially get started studying this back in 1982?
Well, I was actually contacted by the National Soft Drink Beverage Institute, and they had asked me to preview the company who was actually involved in this at that time was the G.D. Searle Company.
Mm-hmm.
Make Metamucil, I think, is one of the products that people would recognize, and they anyway owned the patent rights to this particular product. And so the National Soft Drink Beverage Industry asked me to go to Washington, D.C. And for a period of time, when a new drug or a new food additive is going through the approval process, they allow you to look at the what they call the docket file, which is a whole stack of actual studies that were done by companies that actually work for the company itself who was trying to introduce the product. Anyway, it's the actual detailed studies of toxicology that was done for the product to be approved by the Food and Drug Administration. And so I accepted that offer and did it. And I was horrified with what I saw, you know, the results of the studies, what happened to animals, and the clear indication that the product was carcinogenic or was, you know, produced cancer in both monkeys and rats. So I was just horrified. I was stunned.
All right, so you were stunned, and so did you tell Cyril that this was not a safe product?
Well, they knew it wasn't a safe product.
Well, then why did they ask you to come and be involved in this?
The National Soft Drink Institute.
Oh, I see, okay.
Yeah. You know, the reason that the National Soft Drink Industry was interested in me going there was, I think, they were in the middle of, I didn't know this at the time, but they were in the middle of a sparring match with the company to try to get the rights to this product to use in carbonated beverage. You know, it had already been approved for use in products like Crystal Light and that kind of thing. And they were negotiating it at that time for it to be approved for soft drinks. And it didn't look like the company was going to be giving it to all of the soft drink beverage industry corporations and the various companies. It looked like they had a deal with one of the majors. I think it was probably Coca-Cola. And so I think they sent me there as a bargaining tool, probably, unbeknownst to me.
So, in other words, you were sort of a pawn in this whole political game they were playing.
As it turned out, yeah, I didn't find, if I would have known that, I probably wouldn't have gone, and I'm glad I went. I mean, it changed my life in many ways.
Well, we're going to be back with Dr. Woodrow Mahdi here, certainly at Radio Liberty.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Woodrow Mahdi, who was professor of food science and for many, many years at the university, I believe it was in Arizona, under any circumstances. Some 25 years ago, in 1982, he was asked to go to Washington, D.C., to look at the files and the scientific studies of what was known at that time about aspartame. Now, he was asked to actually do this by the soft drink industry that wanted to be able to put aspartame into their various drinks. And, of course, it was already going apparently into Crystal Light and maybe some of the other major soft beverages that are available in our stores. And, of course, when Dr. Mahdi looked at the scientific studies that were there in 1982, he was horrified. Here was a substance that was a known carcinogen. I mean, here was a substance that had a toxicity involving literally every organ system in the body, and they're talking about adding it to our soft drinks. It had already, of course, been added to certain of our other food products and was being brought in as an alternative to saccharin, because they had done some phony studies on saccharin to show if you gave a cat 6,000 times the regular dose of saccharin, they would go ahead and develop cancer of the bladder, which was a totally invalid study. That didn't matter. They needed something to get people to begin using the aspartame and NutraSweet. But anyway, Dr. Mahdi, what happened? You went to Washington, D.C., you saw these studies, you told the soft drink industry what you found, and then what happened?
Well, I sent them a written report of what I discovered, and and I expected them to file a petition of that report to the Food and Drug Administration. And there's a certain time limit you have for this. It's a complicated sort of thing. But there was a time limit. The Food and Drug Administration limited the responses during the time when the docket file was open. So anyway, I called the attorney that represented the Soft Drink Beverage Institute, I guess that was what they were, and asked when he was going to file this paper. And he said, well, we're not filing it. We're making a deal with Searle as we speak. And I said, well, what kind of deal is this? He said, well, I can't talk about that. And I said, oh, okay. Well, so what I did was I filed a petition to ban NutraSweet and carbonated beverages. And the story just goes on from there.
All right, hold that thought. We'll hear it when we get back here.
Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Dr. Woodrow Mahdi, of course, was a professor of health, food science for many, many years, and he's telling us that he was invited to go back to Washington, D.C. at the behest of certainly the beverage industry, having to do with the canned drinks that we have, the Pepsi and Cola and Coca-Cola and Sprite and Crystal Light and all of these. Anyway, there's some sort of association. They wanted to, they wanted permission to be able to add aspartame to their drinks. And when Dr. Mahdi saw what was going on, he was horrified. He had prepared a report talking about its carcinogenic and toxic effects, and anticipating, of course, that they would file the report and the utilization of this in our food supply would be limited, and he was horrified to find that they had no intention of filing the report. So he filed a report with the FDA, and basically did you ask them not to add aspartame to either our drinks or our food?
Well, at that point, all I could address was this carbonated beverages.
Right.
Because that was all I had to address. And so, but I addressed it properly and addressed that issue and just gave as much evidence as I could. Whatever I found, I presented in that petition, which is still probably floating around in the Internet somewhere.
All right, fine. And so what happened now? You've told them that here we have a carcinogen, a dangerous drug, a dangerous poison. It's going to do great harm to the health of the American people. And what was the response?
Well, nothing at all. You know, the Food and Drug Administration, there was so much politics involved at that point that it was just a fruitless attempt on my part to get anything done. So their intention was to approve it. And
but, of course, weren't you sort of disillusioned by that? Didn't you honestly think the FDA was there to protect the American people?
Well, I was quite a bit younger then, you know. of course, yeah, and I was stunned at that response, and then it just got worse from there.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners how it got worse and, of course, what happened, because you worked for many years trying to expose that they were poisoning the American people.
Well, yes, and then when I noticed that the petition, of course, was written in you know, barely understandable science, and so I decided to write an article on the topic. It's called Aspartame, Methanol, and Public Health, And so I just wanted to, just to get into the scientific community what I had seen in the docket file. The docket file really is not available even now. I mean, it's a very strange thing that they do, but this they lock away this information and only make it available at a specific office in the Food and Drug Administration at Washington, D.C. for a short period of time. So I wanted my colleagues, you know, my other colleagues, other scientists in other areas, to know what I saw and what my fears were. And so I submitted an article in the Journal of Applied, to the Journal of Applied Nutrition. I was on the editorial board of the journal. I reclused myself from the review. The review came back, and I made some changes to make it a little bit more conservative, I guess. And then was finally the article was published. And from that point on, it was a pitched battle between whatever company happened to be owning the patent for NutriSweet and myself. So they all won, by the way. But
I mean, how do you mean they were all won? You mean the other side always won?
The other side always won. Yeah, I never had a chance. Although I've always presented good science, and I've always presented facts as simply and as clearly as I possibly can. It's a very simple thing to understand, Dr. Stan.
Well, would you explain it for our listeners so they really understand that they and their children are being poisoned? How can we verify this as a fact?
Well, it's in, no matter, you know, the truth is out. The information is clear. It's a simple little molecule. It's made up of two amino acids, which are natural little amino acids, in fact, the essential amino acids. The problem is that attached to this one of those amino acids, the phenylalanine, there is a methyl alcohol, and that methyl alcohol becomes dislodged from the molecule, okay? And that's the danger. Methyl alcohol is an extremely toxic substance, and not only that, but methyl alcohol is always metabolized in the human body to formaldehyde. So this is how simple it is, and this is what I was trying to point out initially, and that is every molecule of aspartame, NutriSweet, Equal, whatever you want to call it, every molecule that's metabolized in your body, your child's body, your fetus's body, every molecule converts, is metabolized into a molecule of formaldehyde. And we know, I mean, formaldehyde is a carcinogen, a serious, lethal carcinogen, and it's listed as a serious toxic substance. So how on earth this could go on, I find it totally unacceptable.
Well, of course, then what about the phenylalanine and the aspartic acid? Now, aren't they also very toxic?
Well, I mean, you know, I don't even want to go there because I'm not an expert in that particular area. Phenylalanine is an essential amino acid that can be very toxic in high levels. They had to put a warning on the product to warn people who have PKU that there is phenylalanine, and it can, you know, under many circumstances, it can cause problems. Aspartic acid, it's an amino acid, it's important for building the body. It, under certain circumstances, can also cause problems. But I don't even have to worry about those things. I mean, my feeling is we don't have to go past formaldehyde because that's a cancer-causing agent. So how, you know, why even worry about the other things? I mean, just although there is reason to worry about the others. I have colleagues that are concerned about phenylalanine, aspartate in high levels. Dr. Nada, well, many other scientists are concerned about NutraSweet. It's getting worse, and it's getting more and more play now that studies have been done that do show, even under low concentrations, that it does produce an increase in cancer rates.
Well, of course, won't methyl alcohol produce blindness? I remember.
Oh, definitely. I mean, this is what happens. See, this is, you know, people worry about formaldehyde as being a toxic substance, and yet, you know, and we do have cancer. It does cause cancer. But for the most part, formaldehyde in the gaseous form, like the outgas from building syndrome and that kind of thing, that formaldehyde is pretty much stopped by the mucous membrane, by the lungs. In fact, in the mucous membrane is where it produces its cancerous effect. But the bad thing about methyl alcohol is methyl alcohol seeps into the bloodstream, gets into the cell, and it's in the cell that the formaldehyde is produced. And so we're taking formaldehyde to places where it never would get on its own. It's a Trojan horse phenomenon. The methyl alcohol gets into the cell, converts to methyl alcohol, to formaldehyde in the cell, and then that formaldehyde, which is a monster of a molecule, attaches to some protein, and it doesn't do that protein any good.
All right, Sidney. So the methyl alcohols, you know, is something that has been banned for years. We know in times past why people, when they were desperate for alcohol, would tend to drink it, thinking it was just like ethyl alcohol. But it isn't. I mean, it has a definite, much more toxic effect. And certainly, it would be totally banned from food, and yet we're giving it to our children. We're putting in the soft drinks. In fact, sometimes, you know, when the soft drinks heat up, why, of course, the molecules begin to break down in the can, and they don't even have to wait till they get into your digestive tract. Why, you're drinking methyl alcohol when you're drinking these very soft drinks that contain aspartame, and so many of them do contain it today, don't they?
Oh, exactly. Oh, yes, exactly right. This conversion, that's why it's so dangerous, because the methyl alcohol breaks off so easily and quickly. If you take a swig of a diet soda and it doesn't taste sweet, you know that the majority of the methyl alcohol has broken off and is free-floating in that liquid at that point. And that's what, because that's what causes the sweetness, believe it or not. They tried. G.D. Searle, Monsanto, I think Monsanto, I know G.D. Searle tried. They put millions of dollars into trying to make this substance without the methyl alcohol, but it just wouldn't taste sweet. But, of course, it didn't stop them from using it anyway.
And, of course, Searle actually then kept the patent, and then apparently they sold it to Monsanto. And now, isn't it out of patent? It's being produced over in Japan, and then, of course, being sold to the soft drink industry, which is using it now because it's so much cheaper than sugar?
Oh, right. That's now's the real danger. Now's the real danger because the sugar price has gone up, and you can actually sweeten a beverage with NutraSweet or aspartame, and it'll be cheaper than if you use sugar. And that's what's really attracting the beverage industry to it. And you know, the newer artificial sweeteners are much more expensive because they're still on patents for the most part. And so we have a real dangerous problem now. And it's so cheap that you use more, and it's so cheap that you know, it's being used all over the world to sweeten sodas, and we're seeing what can happen from that. It's terrifying.
Well, what can happen other than, of course, the visual problems and certainly, of course, the carcinogenic problems? Is it ever other physiological effects?
Well, I'll go through the gamut of it. I mean, basically...
Well, I'm going to let you, if you wouldn't mind holding off on that, why
sure.
I'll let you do that here when we get back.
Thank you.
Our guest has been Dr. Woodrow Monti, professor of food science, for many years, and just got, well, more or less by accident involved in this study of aspartame, this deadly poison that they're using on your children. And you say, that couldn't be true. Why, if that were true, everybody would know. But the question is, if you had enough money and you could buy off the medium, how would the people know? How would the doctors know? Well, you were mentioning we go through all the various things that it does. So why do we do that, Dr. Monti?
I'd be glad to do that. And basically, the most important symptoms are the symptoms we associate with chronic methanol poisoning. And those symptoms are almost, well, they're actually identical to the symptoms of diseases like multiple sclerosis and lupus. Okay? The multiple sclerosis-like symptoms are caused, because multiple sclerosis is a demyelinating disease, and that's exactly what methanol is considered. It's a demyelinating toxin. So a person will start out getting extremely serious, like headaches probably, especially behind the eyes. Depression, a condition called anhedonia, which is the inability to feel joy and that kind of thing, and that can last for weeks even after the aspartame consumption stops. And then basically these other symptoms just appear to be symptoms of what would happen if you started stripping the myelin from the nerves in your body. You know, little short circuits would start occurring. You get tingling in your fingers. You get maybe severe pains coming from your limbs. You'd get visual problems for sure. Blotchy vision, diminished field of view, and that kind of thing. And they can be varied and complex, or they can be just individual symptoms can be expressed, and only those individual symptoms. So it's a real it's difficult to understand exactly how and why and when any person would be particularly affected by the symptoms. Other symptoms are associated with the skin, because the skin is the largest organ in the body, and we know that methanol affects the skin and causes all sorts of eruptions and lupus-like effects of the skin, because we have a lot of innervation in the skin that can be affected by demyelinating effect. But that's basically, those are the most important symptoms, I think. And I think the ones that I really worry about the most, especially with kids, is this anhedonia and depression. I mean, we've seen, if you do a curve of increase in suicides, especially in adolescents, over the last 25 years, that's the magic number. Whenever you're doing a study or looking back at a particular disease and you want to know if it's had anything to do with NutraSweet, you just go back 25 or 30, maybe 30 years, and just take a look at the curve of incidence, and that's where you will find the answer. And that is, what is the chronic poisoning of the population with methanol alcohol cause? Well, it causes these changes over that period of time, and this is the fascinating part of it. I mean, everything from certain types of birth defects, the neural tube birth defects, which have people going rampant for a long period of time before we begged women to start taking folic acid. Well, the reason you take folic acid is it helps with the metabolism of formaldehyde. And so why take folic acid when you can just stop taking methyl alcohol? You know, and that kind of, anyway. Multiple sclerosis. The incidence of multiple sclerosis is skyrocketed. And, interesting enough, the incidence of multiple sclerosis in the warmer climates has skyrocketed. This is I think a clear effect of either people being misdiagnosed, they're actually consuming methyl alcohol, which is demyelinating their system, just like the multiple sclerosis would, or maybe methyl alcohol actually does have something to do with multiple sclerosis. There certainly is enough information in the literature.
Hold that thought right there, please.
Sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dr. Woodrow-Monty was simply talking about the effects of the aspartame. One of the things would be this demyelinization. And, of course, the methyl alcohol causes the fatty sheaths around the nerves to begin to dissolve. And so, basically, of course, what you get is multiple sclerosis-like symptoms, and you get, of course, lupus-like symptoms, and you get change of mood, and of course, the brain doesn't function right. All of these having to do with the attack on the neurological system. Now, what about the increased incidence of cancer? You mentioned that formaldehyde is a known carcinogen. And do you think we're getting a significant increase in cancer because of the increased use of aspartame and exposure to methyl alcohol?
I think there's no doubt about that. There's a particular type of brain cancer that was pointed out, actually, in the docket file when I was looking through the docket file. First, there was an expert panel of scientists. Nietzsche was discovered in 1964, and it was turned down several times by the Food and Drug Administration. And because of this incidence of cancer and a linear increase in cancer, dosage-related, and particularly in brain cancers, and so in rats. It was also the same thing happening in monkeys, but at that point it was hard to prove exactly what was going on because monkeys would die and then their bodies would disappear before they were autopsied. So the G.D. Searle, the company who developed the product, got into a lot of trouble for that. Anyway.
Are you suggesting that maybe they were cooking the results, that when the monkeys died, they simply made them disappear because they did not want to have their product that they were going to make millions of dollars off look bad?
Yeah, I would think that was what they were doing, for sure. I mean, they were also indicted for that as well, or at least they're investigated for it, for other drugs as well at about the same time. So it makes you suspicious about what was really going on at that point. But I would say, so I would say yes. I would say that what needs to be done and what hasn't been done, Dr. Stan, is that people are not taking this seriously, and they're not looking, like I say, look at the incidence of various diseases and look back 30 years and just look at the frequency of these diseases and then try to see if there's an association. We know that there was a petition not too long ago relative to this particular kind of brain tumor that obviously was going up logarithmically in the population. But again, everything stops at the Food and Drug Administration. All you can do is complain to the Food and Drug Administration, and there's really probably nobody left at the Food and Drug Administration to listen. I don't know what their problem is, but whoever is left are so politically inclined that they don't have anything to do with this. Even recently, when these very legitimate Italian scientists discovered a linear relationship, again, to cancer at low doses of aspartame, this is like just months ago, that was submitted to the Food and Drug Administration, and they still ignored that. I mean, they claim they're going to be looking at it, but it's just who knows what's going on there. We just can't defend the Food and Drug Administration. I think we just can depend on ourselves. I mean, we have to keep away from this stuff until it's gone.
And, of course, all we can really do, since, of course, money talks and money runs what goes on in Washington, D.C., is stand on the wall as watchmen and warn the public, do not take anything into your body unless you've read the label. If it has aspartame or Equal or NutraSweet or MSTs in it, avoid it like you would the plague, because that's exactly what it is. What about the relationship to convulsions?
Oh, definitely convulsions. Dr. Wertmann at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology wrote an article early on, 12, 14 years ago, showing many incidents of convulsions caused in his laboratory animals, and we know for sure that there are convulsive conditions going on with people who have consumed NutraSweet, and that was one of the higher level complaints. It's the most complained about in the Food and Drug Administration. 10, 15 years ago, they had over 10,000 complaints, and they're listed in a sheet that somebody compiled from the Food and Drug Administration, and those complaints are identical to the complaints for methyl alcohol poisoning. It's phenomenal. It's amazing.
All right. Well, our guest certainly is Dr. Woodrow Monti, is professor of food science. And is that the University of Arizona you were at?
Well, shame on you. It's Arizona State University.
Arizona State University. And here he been out on the front lines for 25 years trying to educate people. And the fact that you have not heard his story or the story of so many other concerned scientists and physicians and investigators is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. We'll be back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. I guess it's Dr. Woodrow Monti. And, of course, the relationship between convulsions and mood alteration. And what about the effect just on pregnancy and fertility? Is this a factor at all with the use of these products?
Well, you know, I think there's a tremendous influence here because I know we can't... Methyl alcohol passes right through the placental barrier. It's as if the placenta wasn't there. There's no barrier to methyl alcohol. And when it's in the fetus, it can start metabolizing into formaldehyde. We know that methyl alcohol is classed as a teratogen. It's a known teratogen. There are very few chemicals that are known teratogens. When I say teratogen, I mean a chemical that can cause birth defects. And the birth defects that are being caused, the real blatant ones, would be the neural tube birth defects. Spina bifida and aensephalia and that kind of thing. And so we know for sure that methyl alcohol itself does do that. I did some rat feeding studies with methyl alcohol myself, and our biggest complaint were reabsorptions with the rats. I mean, there was something that was so damaged in the fetus that the fetus was reabsorbed before pregnancy. So that would probably reflect in humans as either abortion or miscarriage, or just, I think we use the term doctor, don't we, and maybe reabsorption in human pregnancy, or do we?
I've never really heard that.
Yeah, I know. Anyway.
Remember, of course, I was an orthopedic surgeon, so that disqualifies me from certain of this, but certainly miscarriage, and that's what you'd ordinarily call the loss of the products of conception. Anyway, of course, what a terrible, terrible tragedy this is. I wonder what effect the methyl alcohol would have on the brain of that forming fetus.
Well, we know the effect it has, methyl alcohol has on the brain, because there are studies done, developmental studies that were done with rats, and they're defective in learning, that kind of thing, cognitive effect. I mean, not a huge amount of work has been done on it, but it certainly has been done because people are concerned that methyl alcohol is going to be used also as a fuel additive. And so some people were doing some good work there. And so, we have to look, again, we must look at, well, we know for sure that the neural tube birth defects were going up dramatically before we started adding folic acid to things. And that was after NutraSweet came into play.
Why don't you hold that thought? We'll
sure.
be back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dr. Woodrow Monti. And again, we're talking about the problems with aspartame, the poison that has been used in so many of our food products and certainly in many of our drink products and in our chewing gum. Wrigley's chewing gum uses this routinely, knowing full well the terrible effect that it has. Dr. Monti, do you have a website or anything you'd like to get out for people to check?
Well, you know, I just, because I talked to you, Dr. Stan, a few days ago, I started my own website. It's pretty pathetic, but at least I have my article is posted there that was published in 1984, if people are interested in that. And the website is the Truth About Stuff. .com.
The Truth About Stuff.com.
That's all I could think of.
All right, fine. Well, that's fine.
That's one word. And Just one other thing. Before we last, we were talking about birth defects and that kind of thing. One other disease. Again, if we think that methyl alcohol does cause some problem with learning and that kind of thing, when the infant is in the fetus, one disease that has gone up again logarithmically since the inception of NutriSweet is autism. Now, that has got to be looked into. Just a word to the wise on that one.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And, of course, Dr. Monty was just commenting off the air of the terribly toxic effect that methyl alcohol, which is, of course, one of the most toxic of the ingredients of the aspartame molecule, that methyl alcohol certainly will cross the placenta, get into the brain of the child, and, of course, it will affect the brain of that child forming in its wife, in its mother's uterus. And he also points out that concomitant in parallel with the use of introduction of aspartame is the skyrocketing rates of autism. But, you know, one of the things I have never understood, Dr. Monty, is why in heaven's name they would be encouraging pregnant women to drink this terrible poison.
I was stunned. The first time I saw an article, it was written by a guy named Sturtevant, who was a medical doctor, but he was definitely a G.D. Searle employee. And it was written in a journal of, I'm not sure, the Gastroenterological Journal, or one of those journals aimed at reproductive physicians, touting how wonderful NutriSweet was for that group of people. Now, what the heck they're trying to squeeze a few more dollars out of pregnant women, I have no idea. But that stunned me. I just couldn't believe. In fact, he was the person that they would, from time to time, send out to debate me. Usually if I was going to give a presentation at a conference of some kind, a public health conference or something like that, they'd always have to send somebody. Otherwise, they'd threaten to sue whoever the organization was. And a couple of times it was this Sturtevant fellow who wrote this article. And I laid into him one day when we were in the prep room, and he just... it shook him up real bad for the rest of the presentation, I'm afraid. It was unfair of me, but it was totally unfair. Why they do this, I have no idea, because it's not safe. It could never be safe. It could never be made safe.
And yet, of course, this is being openly advocated, and many of the obstetricians honestly believe, well, of course, since weight gain is a complication of pregnancy, let's do something that will help to control weight gain for pregnant women, and we want to help them so they don't put on weight. Let's give them, of course, aspartame containing diet sodas, and with the full knowledge, of course, that they really don't lose weight. In fact, are there any studies that show that you're going to lose weight when you drink these things?
There's no study that shows that. I mean, the best studies show that maybe you won't gain too much more weight than the placebo. Most of the studies clearly show that, you know, people gain weight because sweet things affect your appetite. I mean, sweet things make you hungry. That's the way nature works. I mean, when you taste something sweet, it's coming from a tree. That tree's got a lot of fruit on it that's sweet. Well, you better start eating, and, you know, because it's going to be eaten by other animals. It's going to disappear. So that seems to me to be that's what sweet does for you. And it doesn't matter whether it's sugar, which gives you calories, or NutriSweet, or whatever. You're going to get hungry when you taste something sweet. And so just the calories going to make the difference is going to be made up. A lot of good physicians who want bariatric physicians, you know, they'll just have, they restrict people to water. You know, nothing sweet, nothing diet, and nothing with caffeine in it, you know, which they're also to tend to stimulate the appetite.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Here in the Central Coast of California, our guest is Dr. Woodrow Monty, and of course we're talking about you know, the dangers of aspartame, NutriSweet, Equal, this whole group of certainly of products which give off methyl alcohol, which is one of the most toxic substances we know, and yet it's been advocated for pregnant women. Certainly many of the drinks that are available in our schools are and it contain the aspartame. Our children are drinking this, and of course, with disastrous effects. Well, certainly, you know, do you get many invitations now to debate this issue, or has this thing pretty well been worn down because of all the articles other companies have gotten published, you know, that they finance to get people to say how great aspartame is?
Well, you know, the last 7 years or so, I've been living in New Zealand. Because it was a dream of mine to move to New Zealand one day, and so I moved there. Now, I'm only now starting to come back to the United States. In fact, I've just been here for about a month. So I'd love to debate the issue. And I would debate anybody on the issue. It's fascinating to me. And it goes beyond just Nutrisweet. This whole concept of methyl alcohol is fascinating. Just fascinating. And this is, you know, you talk about doctors, and, you know, I think the problem with physicians is they believe the story. And the story that's given out by both the Food and Drug Administration and the companies that are producing this stuff, what they try to tell physicians is that there is a lot of methyl alcohol in the environment, and that this is just a drop in the bucket. And that is an out-and-out lie. It's very hard to get methyl alcohol in the natural and real world. At this point, aspartame, NutraSweet Equal, is the major source of methyl alcohol in the human diet.
And is there any safe level of methyl alcohol?
No. I don't think so. You know, we went through this at the turn of the century, Dr. Stan. At the turn of the century, in fact, in the 1800s, methyl alcohol was a vile-tasting stuff that was distilled from wood. Well, at about the turn of the century, they discovered a way to manufacture it so it was pure and clear, just like ethyl alcohol. And in fact, if you smell both of them, you can't tell the difference. God forbid you shouldn't taste both of them. But but at any rate, when you're in the laboratory looking at methyl alcohol and ethyl alcohol, there's a thing called Richardson's Rule. What Richardson's Rule is he was a chemist, and he postulated that the more carbon that an alcohol has, the more dangerous it is. Methanol is the smallest little molecule in the world. It's got one little carbon. Ethanol's got two. Propanol's got three. Butanol's got four. And so it's true. I mean, to a point, ethanol is safer than propanol, which is safer than the higher carbon. So, according to that, when you go into the laboratory and feed an animal methyl alcohol, it takes a hell of a lot more methyl alcohol to kill them than it does ethyl alcohol. And so they were putting methyl alcohol in vanilla extract. They were putting in certain medications, that kind of thing, because they thought it was safer. Well, people started dying right and left. I mean, there were impassioned pleas in the literature where physicians were pleading with the scientific community to stop putting methanol in vanilla extract, stop putting it in anything, because it's making people blind, it's killing people, thousands of people. And it wasn't until 1942 that Dr. Rowe, his publication was finally accepted that, hey, humans are the only living thing that are sensitive to methyl alcohol. It's only a poison to humans. And that's because we don't have the enzyme that all the animal kingdom has that can convert methyl alcohol directly to formic acid. We stop at formaldehyde, and then you have to find another enzyme. And that's the rub. And that's why this is such a fascinating issue and a fascinating story. So at that point, they said, well, you can't put methyl alcohol in anything. And now, all of a sudden, G.G. Searle is saying, well, yeah, but we can put a little bit in stuff, you know, no problem. A little bit's not bad. Well, no, that's wrong, because formaldehyde is dreadful. It's a horrifying poison, and it involves itself with the immune system. And anytime you have something involving itself with the immune system, as a trigger to macrophages. I don't need to use the technical words. But you're talking about no small enough amount is safe.
All right. Of course, they're giving it to our children. They're giving it to pregnant women. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But right now, let's go to Mike, who's calling us from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi, Stan. Your guest got me thinking when he asked about the mothers who are being suggested to them that they drink the aspartame drinks and why go so far as to squeeze a few more dollars out of pregnant women and things like that. Well, it seems to me that the baby that they're carrying is going to be affected by this aspartame, and that baby later on in life is going to need more drugs to treat the effects of the aspartame ingested while in utero. So I think these drug companies know that, and they're perfectly happy knowing that they're creating their own market for drugs down the road over the years.
All right, well, Chris.
Pardon me for the cynical outlook.
It's a little cynical. Well, let's get Dr. Woodrow Monti's response to that. Mike thinks that this is being done so that the drug companies down the line, of course, will have more victims for the drugs they're manufacturing. Do you think that that's a valid assumption?
Well, geez, I mean, you've got to always think the worst of the drug companies. They're so horrifying. But one thing they are, too, is they're also pretty stupid. I mean, they dumb down things. They're probably not, I hate to say this, but they're really not organized enough to think that far ahead, I think. But, I mean, geez, conspiracy theories, the one bad thing about conspiracy theories is people start poo-pooing you right away when you start getting into those things. And so I'll give the drug companies the benefit of the doubt. I mean, as far as, I don't think they're smart enough to do something like that.
All right, fine, thanks.
Well, they'll poo-poo us for about 10 years and then they'll come around.
All right, Mike. The one thing is that right now, of course, it's the soft drink industry that is pushing this, not the drug companies. But anything? Did you have something else you wanted to add?
It's all under the umbrella of the FDA.
All right, go ahead. Anything else?
Well, yeah, aspartame being so much cheaper than sugar, can't they just make a biofuel out of it and make money that way?
All right. Thanks so much.
Right.
All right, fine. So anyway, of course, our products are certainly they're out there. The aspartame is in baby food. It's in so many of the ready-prepared foods that we get. I got a call from a plastic surgeon this morning in Southern California, who told me that he was in the drugstore reading the labels on so many of the cough syrups and other things that we're giving to our children, and so many of those cough syrups, will have the aspartame in them. They apparently seem to be in just about everything imaginable. Isn't that true?
Well, it's amazing what they've got, man. Yeah, for sure. And in some cases, it's people, who think they're doing some good. I mean, I think it's just a shame. And really, the burden lies in the food on the government to protect us from this kind of thing, and the government has just let us down in a big way. They're just too, the Food and Drug Administration is just too overloaded with drug entity people, with industry people, and they just don't, they seem to get rewarded when they retire, and they have no interest in protecting the public from anything. It's gotten worse and worse over the years.
Okay, let's go to Judy, who's calling us from Salinas. Hey, Judy, how are you doing? Do you have a question for our guest?
Dr. Stan, I do. If I have a grandson who is on meth, he's also an alcoholic, would that metabolize into formaldehyde in his cells?
No, I mean he's on aspartame?
He's on, I can't say it. The drugs that these kids make in the labs.
What drug would he be taking from the lab?
Like, is that methamphetamine or something?
Yeah,
methamphetamine. It was a dreadful compound.
But he's also an alcoholic, and I wondered if that would combine into the effects of what alcohol into formaldehyde in the cells.
No, I don't think so. No,
that's a different type of that's ethyl alcohol.
Okay, I'll let you go. I appreciate your answer. Thank you very much.
No problem, sure.
Thanks very much, Judy. Okay, and our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But the regular alcohol is ethyl alcohol. This is methyl alcohol. We used to call it wood alcohol because it was made from wood. But it was found to be so toxic there in the early part of the last century that they restricted its use, and nobody in their right mind would put methyl alcohol into the food chain, and yet they've done it. That's what's so incredible. And of course, I'd guest today, Dr. Woodrow Monty, used to do a lot of debates on this subject, and of course the people on the other side would send their people out to debate him to neutralize what he had to say. Do you think that when you were really out there speaking, you were able to convince some of the scientists, some of the physicians, of the real danger of aspartame? Because certainly until I retired from medicine, I never had any idea how harmful this was.
Oh, you know, the tragedy is it's usually a small audience. But, I mean, I don't think I ever lost a debate with them. I mean, I think at the end of the debate, I'd always get the standing ovation. I'd always have people come up to me and say, you know, good job, well, I didn't realize that. So that, I mean, it's easy for me to say, but I mean, to me, it's so clear. Once you explain it from start to finish, you know, and you do it properly and show the science, yeah, you definitely convince people. But, you know, you know, 100 people at a time, and there's the whole world out there. It's just so tragic.
Well, that's the disadvantage we have, and that's why I do what I do, at least, at least with radio, why we may be, you know, reaching a few thousand or a few tens of thousands.
Sure.
On some of our larger networks that we have. So if you don't mind, I hope maybe I can call upon you to come under some of our other programs where we'll have 10 or 12 different stations. And those, we do have really very, very large listening audiences, a loyal audience that's been listening for many years, and know they can pretty well trust the things we're talking about.
That'd be great.
Well, I guess...
I'd be honored.
Well, our guest has been Dr. Woodrow Monty, and, of course, one more time, your website?
TheTruthAboutStuff.com.
TheTruthAboutStuff.com. You hang right on there. Well, Dr. Monty, we've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program here before I have to let you go. So what would be the parting thought you would like to leave with our listeners?
My parting thought would be that what they should remember, the most important thing they should remember is every molecule of NutraSweet, aspartame, equal, whatever they want to call it, is metabolized into a molecule of formaldehyde in their bodies, in their children's bodies, in their fetuses' bodies. That's the most important thing. Everybody, not everybody, but most people understand how poisonous, how carcinogenic, how dangerous formaldehyde is, and we just don't want to have that happening. And so to me, that's the important thing to remember. And that's the thing you can tell other people. And when the other side comes back and says, hey, there's methyl alcohol in everything, that's not true. That's not true. There's methyl alcohol in very few things. Smoking is one of them.
Well, because, you know, I think what I like about your approach is it's so simple. And I think that sometimes we get so much knowledge and we have so much information and we tell people so much that they can't actually begin to correlate it all, and they've got information overload. And I think the idea that every molecule breaks down into a molecule of methyl alcohol breaks down into a molecule of formaldehyde, and that should be pretty understandable. I remember when I was in medical school, and we used to, of course, deal with formaldehyde all the time. That's mm-hmm. what you put onto the cadavers, because it would keep them from, you know, from developing any, I suppose, rotting away, as it were. It kills everything.
Turns everything into plastic.
Right.
It's amazing what it does to the brain.
And of course, to give people something that would be harmful, to give pregnant women something that would harm the child in their womb. I think one of the hardest things for me, I know initially when I got started thinking about these things, was to believe that anything could be this this crass, this uncaring, truly evil, because I don't think there's any other explanation for it. And you can say, well, this has to do with profit. These people are concerned about profits, and maybe they are. But everybody, sooner or later, has to realize they're responsible for what they do. And I happen to believe that we are responsible to somebody who is far greater than we are. And I believe that these people have other motivations that perhaps are very difficult for people to accept. Well, Dr. Monty, thank you very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure. I look forward to having you on our other programs in the not-too-distant future.
Dr. Spann, I really appreciate it. It's a real honor to be on your show. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Now, if you'd like to, of course, I get copies of this program and the program I did a couple of days ago on, yesterday, on dealing with aspartame. We actually have 2 4-tape sets available. Other interviews, you can order these specific interviews on CDs or on tape. We have 2 DVDs on aspartame. One is called Sweet Misery. The other is called Sweet Remedy. And it goes into the fact that some people, of course, develop multiple sclerosis-like syndromes where they get demyelinating disease, and you actually see the demyelinization on MRI directly referable, of course, to they're taking in the formaldehyde and wood alcohol. And, of course, people get better when they, of course, they get off of these products. And then, of course, we have books on this. We have Dr. Blaylock's book, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills. We have Dr. Roberts' encyclopedia book. It's over 1,000 pages, but it's called Aspartame, The Forgotten Epidemic. And it produces diabetes, it produces all sorts of visual symptoms and convulsions, and it produces headaches, and it produces pathological obesity and infertility and tumors, and we go right down the line of all the things it produces, and they know these things, and it produces brain tumors in children. And who could be crass enough to do that? And I suspect, well, if you listen to our programs regularly, you know that there are people who have a different agenda. So we have the 4 tape sets, we have the DVDs, we have the books. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then to take the next step and pull the curtain back and lift the veil, we begin getting into the spiritual forces that energizes these people. And that's why you need to get my talk, None Dare Call It Genocide, Planned Population Reduction. Now, these are available on VHS DVD. Population Control. We have a 4-tape set on Population Control. You can go onto our website and get our monograph. It's called Planned Population Reduction, or if you get into the other items, you can just request a copy of that, and we'll send it to you. It's the best thing available with all the documentation. There really are people who want to kill off the majority of the people in the world. And you say that could be true. I refuse to believe it. Well, you need to read what Jacques Cousteau said when he talked about the necessity of eliminating 350,000 people a day. And if you don't believe that, you give us a call, 1-800-544-8927, and ask for the UNESCO Courier, November of 1991, where Jacques Cousteau is quoted as saying that. He makes Adolf Hitler look like a piker. And Adolf Hitler was a piker compared with the people like Jacques Cousteau or Bertrand Russell or so many of our other leaders, or the people who put up the Georgia Guidestones that call for reducing the world population to 500 million. And you can go to Elberton, Georgia, and stand in the shadows of those truly evil Guidestones and read what they say, or you can get pictures of them up on my website at RadioLiberty.com, or certainly you can get our Sustainable Development Syllabus and get those pictures, and we hope that you get our Sustainable Development Syllabus, where we have our Population Control Agenda monograph and so much more on the genocidal programs that are being carried out today. Pray for America. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
Greg Moore. Fire officials have raised the nation's fire preparedness to its highest level as dozens of new blazes flared up in the West. The change allows officials to request help from the National Guard and from international crews. About 15,000 firefighters are battling nearly 70 fires larger than 100 acres in 12 states. Lawmakers say they're infuriated after the release of documents showing that lawyers for FEMA discouraged officials from looking into reports that trailers for hurricane victims had dangerous levels of formaldehyde.